things I think we've done that with is life. If there's anything we learn from the Bible, it's that life itself is sacred. And we do not have the authority to decide, when a life should end. And yet our culture is becoming more, as we drift from an awareness of God, has become more and more obsessed with taking that on. So just this week, in the Isle of Man, this is discussions, proposal to introduce assisted suicides. And there's huge pressure in all the nations and around the world. But life is, it's God's gift to us. It's God's gift to us. We should be very careful of taking the holy things of God and treating them as if they were ours to do what they want with. The other thing that we've done that with is marriage. You know, the Bible begins with a marriage between a man and a woman, and it ends with a marriage between a man and a woman, Christ the groom and his church the bride. And marriage is a sacred institute. It's a sacred signpost that points us to the marriage between God and his people. And yet our society has taken that gift and made it mean something different. We're not at liberty to do that. This book is our authority. Much as it would be convenient to be able to say, well, actually, no, we can do what we like with these things. We can't. There are so many other things that we could unpack and explore. But those, as I was thinking about it, think about our society, thinking we've taken these sacred things of God and thought that we can do with them what we want. And that's a very dangerous position to get into, as Belshazzar discovers. Belshazzar lives in a world where you get rewarded for things. I was thinking he's learned something from from Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was all stick, where Belshazzar is a bit more carrot. So when Belshazzar was wanting, when Nebuchadnezzar was wanting things interpreted, he'd say to his wise men, well, look, if you don't give me the answer I'm looking for, I'll have you torn into pieces and have your houses pulled into rubble. So he was all stick, whereas at least Belshazzar's gone a bit more carrot. He's like, well, if you tell me, you'll get a reward. You'll be clothed with purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck. You'll be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But that's the world that he lives in, is you get rewarded. You get rewarded. That's the incentive. What's the world that Daniel lives in? He doesn't care about those material things. His interest is not being rewarded. His interest always and only is being obedient to God. That's the only thing that he works for. Think about Paul running his race, the Apostle Paul running his race. I don't run for a crown that will not last. I run for a crown that will last forever. Daniel's eyes are fixed on heaven. So he says, verse 17, you can keep your gifts. You can give your rewards to someone else. But I'll do what you ask me because I'm going to be obedient to God. In our lives, it's just a reminder to us, what's the reward that we're working for? What are we living for? Are we living for rewards in this life? Or are we living for eternity? Are we living for eternity? Is that where our heart is set? Are we so devoted to following the Lord Jesus? So devoted to serving him that it doesn't matter what material things we may or may not have in this life. Our hearts are set on obedience to him. So Daniel, because of the gift that the Lord has given him, Daniel knows what the writing on the wall means. And this is a kind of it's a key point because, you know, Daniel, as I say, is probably in his mid-80s by this point, and he understands what the writing means. But this is still, it's still going to take some boldness and some courage to tell Belshazzar what it means, because it's not good news. It's not good news, is it? And but the thing for Daniel is, and this is the thing for us, is Daniel will only speak truth. He'll only speak truth, no matter what the cost might be. And the cost might have been that Belshazzar might have had him killed, because Belshazzar might not have enjoyed the interpretation of this message. So this is a risky point. But for Daniel, the only thing he'll do is speak truth. I've just been reading recently in my readings through Numbers and the story of Balak and Balaam and the speaking donkey. And if you're not familiar with this story, The Israelites are, there are a lot of them, and Balak, who's one of the kings, is a bit disturbed that there are so many Israelites and is feeling a bit threatened. So he gets this guy Balaam, who has this prophetic gift, so he basically hires him to curse the Israelites. So he said, I want you to come, and Balaam says, well, just to warn you, I can only say what the Lord gives me to say. But Balak hires him anyway, and then Balak gets really upset because Balaam just blesses the Israelites. And Balak's like, well, I've hired you to curse them. And Balaam says a couple of times, he says, Numbers 23, verse 12, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? And then after the third time of failing to curse them, because he just says, Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell the messengers you sent me? Even if Balak gives me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord. I must say only what the Lord says. Just let that kind of resonate for a moment. He says, I can't do anything beyond the command of the Lord. We can't do anything as a church beyond the command of the Lord. We can't do anything beyond what he has revealed in his word, no matter what it might cost. Think on the day of Pentecost. Think how bold Peter was, having been filled with the Spirit. He's transformed from this guy who's, you know, he's a bit nervous, he's a bit worried about what's going to happen. And with great boldness, he declares, Acts chapter 2, 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. He's not going to win himself any friends by declaring the truth. But that's what he does. Think of Stephen, the first martyr, who ends his sort of explanation of Old Testament history. He kind of comes into land with the Pharisees, who he says this, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. We can only speak the truth that God gives us, no matter what trouble it might get us into. Peter ended up being martyred. Stephen ends up being stoned to death. Daniel is in this place where he'll only ever speak the truth. So for us, will we only ever be those who speak the truth, no matter what it might cost? And Daniel points out to Belshazzar what he's done. He says, your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar was humbled and acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. Remember that in the end, that's, if you learn anything from the book of Daniel, that's the point, that God is the Most High God and he is sovereign. That's the whole point of the book, is that God is sovereign and we must recognize it. And he says, Belshazzar, you've not humbled yourself. You've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. How foolish. You had the goblets brought from the temple, your nobles, your wives, you drank wine from them. You praised gods of silver and gold, which cannot see or hear or understand. That's what our society does. You know, we all worship. Every human being worships. It's what we are created to do. And we will find a focus for our worship. And if it's not the living God, it will be something made of bronze, iron, wood and stone that cannot hear or understand. The explanation of what's been written, God has numbered your days. You've been weighed in the scales. So your kingdom is being given to someone else. Just one thing to pull out of this. We've all been weighed in the scales and found wanting. not just Belshazzar. We have all been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Paul says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being has been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Writer of the Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, just as it is appointed for man to die once and then to face judgment. We've all fallen short. We've all been found in the scales and found wanting, which is why the only thing that we can do is throw ourselves on the mercy of God. It's the only thing that Nebuchadnezzar could do was to throw himself on the mercy of God. It was the only thing that Belshazzar should have done was to throw himself on the mercy of God. It's the only thing that will save any of us is throwing ourselves on the mercy of God. In a few moments, we'll be coming to this table and taking bread and wine and being reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That makes it possible for us to come. We've all been weighed on the scales. And to ignore God and not to surrender to him is the most foolish thing that we can do. We set ourselves up against the sovereign God. That's not a good thing to do. And Belshazzar's end comes swiftly. As I said at the beginning, when Belshazzar is having his party, the city is surrounded by the Medes and the Persians, and he thinks it's impregnable, but the Medes and the Persians are smart. And the river Euphrates flows through the city, and the river flows under the wall of the city, and normally it's a raging torrent, so it's not a way in, but the commanders of the Medes and the Persians divert the river. They divert the Euphrates into a swamp, and the level of the river drops, and the army goes in under the wall. A warning against complacency. The enemy will find a way in, however smug you may be feeling. And Darius comes in, the Mede, he takes over the kingdom, and Belshazzar's reign and Babylon comes to a swift end. Why? Because they won't recognize that God is sovereign. And ultimately we will come to a swift end if we don't recognize that God is sovereign. But this morning we have that opportunity. We're going to come to this table.